From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? Hope you all had a good weekend. It's a little cold outside. Yes, it's almost like you can feel Thanksgiving and Christmas officially in the air now. It's about 20 degrees outside. Saw a little bit of snowflakes coming down out of the air over the weekend. Yeah, it's that time of the year, folks. I think we can officially put spring and summer to bed. Got to make that transition. Stay warm, folks. Stay warm. And we're going to try to keep you warm for the next hour at least with a hot Current Sports show for you. We'll talk about all of the weekend action that ensued, including MSU topping Maryland on Saturday. Frank Clark, U of M player, he's in a bit of a pickle. We'll run that down and give you our thoughts on that one as well. Also, how about those Lions? The luck finally runs out for them. No comeback win on Sunday, folks, as they fall to the Cardinals. We'll talk about all of that and so much more, including our weekend winners. If you want to call in and be a part of the discussion, you know the number 517-355-9527. But as custom here on Current Sports, we start things off with your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this November 17th. Well, yesterday marked the official start for the MSU women's basketball team as they took on Eastern Michigan University, Suzy Merchant's former squad. Now, the team held off a late rally from EMU Sunday afternoon, winning 69-61 at the Breslin Center. Sophomore Ariel Powers had 20 points and 15 rebounds, while Tori Jankowska had 20 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists. Now, leading the way was Anna Marisi, who hit a late three down the stretch and 2 free throws to send the defending Big Ten champion Spartans to a victory. It was Anna's first start, and man, she held it down, folks. Now, the women play number 3 Notre Dame this Wednesday. They'll have their hands full with that one. All right, University of Michigan defensive end Frank Clark was arrested in the early hours on Sunday on domestic abuse charges in Sandusky, Ohio, and has been reportedly released from the team as of hours ago. Now, Clark was staying in a hotel with his girlfriend when he reportedly picked her up on the neck and slammed her to the ground. He was then arrested and faced the judge this morning. Head coach Brady Hoke released a statement this morning that said, quote, "This is a tragic situation. Our student athletes will be held accountable when their actions fail to meet the standard we have at Michigan. There is a legal process that will occur, and we respect that process." All right, Michigan State's women's cross-country team added another accomplishment on Friday afternoon behind senior Leah O'Connor. Man, is she good. And sophomore Rachel Shulis. The top-ranked Spartans captured their first regional title since 2010. Leah O'Connor and Rachel were the top 2 finishers at the regional to lead MSU, which finished 28 points, 54 fewer than runner-up Wisconsin. Now, the Spartan men's and women's team received automatic bids to the NCAA championships, which will take place November 22nd in Indianapolis. How about the Lions, folks? The Arizona Cardinals head on down the stretch to beat the Lions 14-6. Matthew Stafford and the Lions drove late, but Matthew could not connect with Calvin Johnson on an out route on 4th-and-2 to keep the Lions drive going. The Cardinals then ran out the clock and went on to win behind former Spartan, yes, Drew Stanton. We'll talk about that one in just a sec. The Red Wings, they fell behind 3-0 to the Canadiens and went on to lose 4-1 actually on Sunday night at the Joe. Now, the Wings didn't have a game or practice on Saturday while the Canadiens were coming off a 6-3 win in Montreal over the Flyers. Canadiens starting goaltender Carey Price got the night off on Sunday, but Dustin Tokarski made 28 saves to improve to 3-1-0. The Pistons are back in action tonight. They finally return home to the Palace after coming off a 4-game road trip. They try to shake off their loss to the Memphis Grizzlies, taking on the Orlando Magic. Tip-off is set for 7:30 p.m. Detroit Tigers announced today that the club has exercised its option for the 2015 season on catcher Alex Avila. Avila batted 218 with 44 runs scored, 22 doubles, 11 home runs, and 47 RBIs in 124 games for the Tigers in 2014. Now, he led the American League with 36 runners caught stealing, while he was second with 26 catcher caught stealings. All right, now how about Kevin Harvick with a first-place finish at Homestead Miami Speedway? Kevin Harvick captured his first NASCAR Sprint Cup Series championship yesterday. Harvick picked off car after car and passed two other title contenders on a series of restarts as he aggressively chased both victory and the title Sunday night at Homestead Miami Speedway. His desperate drive from 12th to first over the final 15 laps gave him the championship over Denny Hamlin, Ryan Newman, and Joey Logano. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of those, you know that number, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. You can even tweet me at AlMartinWKR or at our official Current Sports Twitter page of at WKAR_sports. All right, folks, so much to talk about, so little time. Again, if you want to chime in and discuss anything in the sports world, anything that took place over the weekend, if you want to talk Lions, MSU football, the Frank Clark arrest, yeah, we'll be talking about all of that and so much more today. Just pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I had a pretty good weekend, relaxing weekend. I was actually out at the MSU women's basketball game yesterday as they took on EMU to start their year. We'll be chatting about that game as well. It was the official start to the MSU women's basketball season, and they had a bit of a scare. I tell you, man, that's a gritty, gritty Eastern Michigan women's team. I mean, they stuck with Michigan State throughout the entirety of that one. They actually cut it down to a 4-point lead. Michigan State only up by four with about 3 or 4 minutes left in the game. So they definitely battled through some adversity there. But if you want any type of adversity throughout a year, especially in a basketball season, hey, why not have it as your first game of the season to shake off a bit of that rust? So you get to hear from Susie, Ariel Powers, and Tori Jankowska on that win. We'll have our weekend winners as well and so much more. Alex Shark now joins me. Alex, how you doing, my man? You have a good weekend?
Had a great weekend, Al, and I actually went flying on Saturday. I felt like I was kind of playing a sport there.
You went flying
in a small plane, not one of those commercial ones, but a very small plane. It was crazy. I've never been flying in a small plane before. A friend of mine invited me, and I said, why not? And I went, and I have quite the story. I'll tell you later.
Wow, that is pretty cool stuff.
Yeah,
this
good
was,
weekend.
What city was this?
So I took off from Troy, Michigan,
okay.
And I flew to Columbus. It was crazy. I flew all the way down to Columbus.
Wow.
Ohio State territory, went to this restaurant right in downtown Columbus, then just flew back. It was wild, man.
That is unbelievable.
A life experience.
The life that Alex Shark leaves. I tell you what, man, you're like Jay-Z, okay? Who just hops on a plane and goes to another city, okay?
Hey, I was co-pilot for the day, man.
Wow, so you didn't get a chance to fly, but you were in the plane.
Yeah, I was in the plane.
Oh, man, that's pretty cool stuff.
It was awesome. Life experience, man. Life experience.
Without a doubt, man. That is a very good weekend, if I say so myself. Yeah, for me, I mean, I just kind of just chilled out. I covered the EMU-MSU game yesterday. On Saturday, what did I do Saturday? Let's see here. I pretty much kind of just chilled out and watched sports all day Saturday. It was a pretty good day. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, watch a lot of sports. I mean, the MSU Navy basketball game, what a scare. You saw the women's game, also a scare.
Yeah, we're going to definitely dive into
college
both of
football?
Those.
Wow.
I tell you what, though, away from sports, my favorite artist, Kendrick Lamar, he actually performed on Saturday Night Live. Woody Harrelson was the host of SNL. Woody tore it up. I didn't know Woody was that funny, but he was unbelievably funny. And Kendrick Lamar, seeing him perform, that man, it was one of the best musical performances I've ever seen. He was that good. But yeah, solid weekend though. But hey, let's start things off talking about the Lions, huh? The Detroit Lions, of course, folks, as mentioned in our headliners, they lost to the Arizona Cardinals. I'm sorry. I'm so used to saying they beat. on Monday afternoon, seeing as though how these past few weeks have gone for the Lions. But they finally hit a bump in the road after a pretty nice slew of games winning. But the Cardinals, they held on down the stretch to beat the Lions 14-6. Matthew Stafford, he saw it out on that last drive. I feel as though everybody was looking at that game, especially on that final drive where the Lions stalled out. I was sitting there saying to myself, okay, here we go. Here's another Matthew Stafford comeback win. But the luck finally ran out for the Lions. And the Cardinals, I tell you what, the Cardinals, if anything, Alex, look at this Arizona Cardinals team. They are for real. I have to say that. They have the best record in the NFL. The NFL's only one-loss team. They have wins against, and very impressive wins against the 49ers, the Philadelphia Eagles, even my Dallas Cowboys, and now the Detroit Lions. Very impressive stuff. And, you know, there was a huge spotlight on this game because looking as though how these past few weeks the season has gone for the Detroit Lions and just the magic that this team has had and comeback wins and how Matthew Stafford has been able to just click at the right time and pull through in the final moments of games. When you play a team like Arizona, who clearly is the best team in the league right now, in my opinion at least, man, you know, there's a huge spotlight on this because you had two very good teams going at it. And, you know, with Carson Palmer being out, you know, tearing his ACL last game, and he's done for the year, and now you bring in former MSU quarterback Drew Stanton. And Drew definitely held it down. I thought he had a very solid game. And, you know, it's amazing, though, to look at this run that Arizona is having right now. Again, the best record in the league. And, you know, if you look at just the statistics here, it's amazing because they have the league's 13th ranked defense. So almost a top 10 defense, but not quite. And they have the league's 20th ranked offense. So they're not even in the top 10 in both the offensive or defensive categories, yet they only have one etch on that in that loss column. It's truly unbelievable. And then you look up how many points they give up. Alex, I don't know if you knew this, but they actually are 29th in the league in passing yards given up per game. And we're talking about a one-loss team here. I tell you what, I always say the numbers never lie, but in this case, I think they're lying a little bit.
Yeah, one aspect about the Cardinals, it was the defense in my eyes, Al, that won the game for them. I mean, if you look at the drives for the Lions, the Cardinals did not score after the first two drives of the game for them. So the Lions' defense kept them in the game. But at the end of the day, it was that Cardinals D, that no-fly zone, that really kept them in the game behind all their talented defensive backs, and the Lions just couldn't do anything about it. And like you said, the Cardinals, they're 13th and then 20th for defense and offense, and as much as their defense was extremely playing well, they've played great teams this season. They beat the Niners, they beat your Cowboys,
they beat
the Eagles, they beat the Rams, who just had a very impressive win against the Broncos, who they lost to earlier. So it's not like the Cardinals haven't played anybody good. This is a very good team. So I agree, give credit where it's due. The Cardinals did what they needed to do to win this game. But for the Lions, let's talk about what the Lions didn't do, Al. Mm. It was really upsetting to see the Lions go down the field, turn the ball over, or throw to Calvin 12 times, only connect on 5 of them. I mean, obviously the Cardinals had a plan for Calvin Johnson. And you've got all these tight ends, you've got all these different receivers. I was a little upset on the receiving choices from Matthew Stafford that game. I thought that he could have thrown to a lot of different receivers aside from Calvin that game.
Yeah, for me, and you go back to that last interception that Matthew Stafford threw. It was the cliche Matthew Stafford to Calvin Johnson. Let me just throw it up in the air and hope that he makes some miraculous catch. But the thing about when Matthew does that many times is that he doesn't give Calvin a chance to make a play on the ball. It was overthrown, interception, turnover, Cardinals football. But I agree. I think you have to give credit to this Arizona team because I think that they outcoached the Lions. That secondary play out of their mind. They came with a great scheme to double Calvin when needed. And, you know, when Calvin is doubled, though, what we've been seeing, especially when Calvin was out and injured many games, is that you had a guy like Golden Tate step up. looking at Golden Tate's numbers, too, he only had two catches for 41 yards, so that was pretty alarming. But looking at this Lions offense, they really, really, really struggled against this Arizona Cardinals defense. So you got to give a lot of credit to them. I totally agree. And for the Lions offense, they failed to score a touchdown. This is the first time since 2009. 2009, folks. So you got to go back 5 years. That's the first time the Lions have not scored a TD in a game. Unbelievable stuff. So looking at the numbers for Matthew Stafford, he was 18 for 30, not very accurate, 183 yards. That one interception, again, just heaving it up to Calvin Johnson. And it really, for me, I will say there were many things that this Lions team could have done better, especially on the offensive end. Hey, I would have liked them see. I would have liked to have seen Joik Bell run the ball a little bit more. If there's any positive thing out of this whole thing, I really thought that Joik Bell had a pretty solid game on the ground. But I will say this, Alex. This is the type of game that the Lions have been winning these past few weeks. This was a game where I think finally that luck just ran out and you didn't have this comeback win. I always said, eventually, if the Lions have these poor starts in the first half and they play from behind, they can't keep relying on a miracle comeback in order to win a game. You cannot beat a good, formidable team like the Arizona Cardinals getting down early in the game, and that's what you saw on Sunday. All right. Well, we have a caller, I believe. Let's see here. They're on line one. Caller is on line one. How you doing?
Jock wants to talk Lions. What's up, Jock?
What's up, Jock?
Hey, Al. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm used to you being in the studio.
Yeah,
what's up, Jack?
We got a lot of snow back home, so I decided to hang back, wait for the roads to clear up a little bit, and figured I'd call in and give a little insight on the game.
I'm sorry. What'd you say, Jack? I'm sorry.
I said I was just waiting for the roads to clear up, and then I'm going to give a little insight on the game, you know, calling in almost just as good as being there.
Exactly. So what were your take on it, Jack? Because I actually read your great position-by-position analyst that you do every single Sunday after the game. Again, for me, and Alex agreed with this too, for the Lions, again, I just feel as though they just can't – they cannot – keep battling from behind and having these poor starts, because eventually it's going to nip them in the butt, and it did on Sunday.
Yeah, it did. And the thing that stood out to me is the game before against the Dolphins, Golden Tate and Johnson were both over 100 yards receiving, and then yesterday they combined for exactly 100 yards.
Right. Yep, but 59 for Calvin and 41 for Golden Tate, exactly.
Exactly, yeah. And the most troubling thing is that Golden Tate wasn't even targeted in the second half. How do you not target that guy at all in the second half?
Right, exactly. So do you put most of this on the shoulders of Matthew Stafford?
Well, I mean, this loss kind of falls on him. Obviously, that one interception, he did try to force to Calvin Johnson, but he's got to look at those other guys. And Foyle was active, but didn't play much, but he targeted Ebron, I think, seven times. He had four catches. But they just, you know, they ran the ball. They had 98 total rushing yards, and there was no balance in that offense.
Right. Yep, that is very, very true. And you know what, though? Looking at this game, Jock, for me, you know, again, this is the type of game that the Lions have been winning these past few weeks. And finally, you know, the luck has run out. But I will say this, with this Lions team now being 7-3, it's not time to panic, though. I think the Lions played a very good team, arguably the best in the NFL. They hung with them and still gave themselves a chance to at least tie it in the closing minutes of that game, which didn't happen, obviously. But they were still in the conversation to possibly make something happen. They played a very good team, and the Lions are still in contention, I think.
Yeah, they are. And they got a tough game this weekend against the Patriots at Gillette Stadium. But you know what? Even if they lose that game, they're still 7-4, and at worst, a game behind Green Bay, and they got a lot of games left to play.
Right. That is very, very true. Jack, my man. Appreciate it, my man.
No problem. We'll see you on Wednesday, Al.
All right. Jack DeWitt, I like to dub Jack our Lions expert here on Current Sports. I tell you, he's one of the biggest Lions fans you ever meet in your life, folks. We got Mike from Saginaw online too. Mike, how you doing?
How you doing, my man? Let me tell you before I start asking sports questions. You talking about Kendrick Lamar? You know you missed the guy who killed it 2 weeks ago.
Who's
Fred.
That?
Prince. He really killed it, man.
What? Who is that?
Prince on Saturday Night Live. You was talking about Kendrick Lamar.
Oh yeah, Prince was unbelievable. I saw that performance, and I'm like, Prince did like what an 8 minute. 8-minute rendition of like new music. Oh, trust me. Yeah, see, it was unbelievable. Oh, I know. SNL has been knocking it out the park with their performances these past 2 weeks, Mike.
I'm just glad that I went to see him 3 times. You know, I paid a real $75 to go see him because up at this, up in Saginaw, we call it the Dollar Vince Center. They changed their name from the Sears Center.
Right.
I paid $75 to go see him. I said, not too many artists. I would pay a high price to go see somebody like any artist for $75, but I was glad that I seen him.
I'm telling Mike, Prince is worth every penny of that $75 you spent. Okay.
Yes, he is.
Did you see Kendrick? Did you see Kendrick on Saturday?
No, I didn't see it. I'm going to have to YouTube it and watch it on there.
Oh, it is. You better make sure you're sitting down, my man. Make sure you're sitting down. It was something to remember, without a doubt.
All right, there. I was going to tell you, do you ever go on the road trip?
Yes, we do.
Oh, did you go to this one?
No, did not go to this one, though. Nope. Stayed in town. Oh, we covered the MSU women's basketball game on Sunday.
You got to go to D.C., though, man.
Yeah, I heard. I heard it's really nice.
That'd be a good place for you to go, man. Even the Rutgers over in New Jersey, that'd be a good place for you to go, man.
Right, definitely.
So, let me talk about, since we talked about Michigan State and everything, do you think since they're not going to be in the national championship, do you think it's still to the players' advantage to still play for, not just to go to a New Year's Day bowl game?
Yeah, well, for me, you know, I think that when you talk about Michigan State's playoff hopes being kind of just out the window now,
sure.
you gotta look at, you know, I always say, and I preached this all last week, you gotta look at the glass half full now. I think Michigan State did a great job of brushing off the loss, and they came back, and you saw, you know, that, especially that defense played with a chip on his shoulder in the second half more so than the first. But I think this was a great rebound game for them. And, yeah, you know, now they're playing for a top-tier bowl game. They still want to play for a top-tier bowl and still prove to people that, hey, yeah, we're still one of the elite. And I think they're looking at Michigan State. I mean, hey, they've been ranked in the top 10 for the past few years now. Anytime you're ranked in the top 10 consistently, year to year to year, throughout at one point or twice or even throughout an entire year, I think this Michigan State football team is finally arrived in this D'Antonio era, Mike.
Yes. What do you think about, speaking of that, what do you think about Melvin Gordon's performance against Nebraska?
Woo! You just took away my weekend winner right there. He's my top dog out of my weekend winners, Mike. Man, is that kid good or what? Set the FBS single game rushing record. I mean, he was out of his mind that game. And just imagine if they would have let him play, you know, throughout the entire fourth quarter. I mean, what those numbers would look like right now. Melvin Gordon, hey, he's leading my Heisman race right now. He has a good chance to win it. He just booked himself a ticket to New York, I think, Mike.
I think so, too. Here's one more question. I'll move it along there. I'm going to talk about Lance and Sexton and Lansing Catholic Central. They're in the semifinals again before they get to Ford Field. Do you think this Lansing Sexton team or the Lansing Catholic team got a great shot to make it to Ford Field?
Certainly. And, you know, we're going to talk about that later on in our show as well, and you get to hear from Lansing Catholic head coach Jim Ahern. But, yeah, I think that when you look at Sexton, and looking at the game, you know, on Friday, they actually rested Javon Ray because he was, you know, injured. And, you know, I think this was an ideal game to rest him. He rested up. And, you know, looking at this team, though, I think the key to this team, for Sexton at least, they have so many weapons they can throw at you. Malik Mack is playing great. Javon Ray, I think he'll be back for this weekend. When he's healthy, he's one of the best in the area, if not one of the best in the entire state. And that Sexton defense shows up when they need to show up, and they buckle down. Dan Bogan and Jim Ahern alike, it's been so impressive to see how good these teams and how well they've gotten, because I believe both of these teams have gotten better week to week to week. And these teams buy in and rally behind great coaching minds like those two. These two teams have a great chance at winning a state championship.
What about when they was playing Swan Valley, they had a running back named Alex Grace. He set all these kind of records up here in Saginaw and everything. But when I look at him on the highlight shows, I said, man, he is really the real thing, man, because he ran through a team like Sexton. You know, we don't have teams like Sexton up here he's playing against. But it was impressive just to see, like, your team, Sexton, is really – really good. But really surprised me is Birmingham Brother Rice losing. That really threw me for a loop.
Oh, I didn't know who they lose to.
They lost to Warren D. LaSalle.
Gotcha. That is very, very surprising.
That is. All right, then. I'm going to let you move along, man.
Thanks, thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate it. And we'll be talking about Lansing Catholic and Sexton in a second. They just keep on keeping on, my man.
Keep on keeping on. And like you said, keep on keeping on. You just said that Melvin Gordon has a good chance to win the Heisman.
Definitely.
If you look at it now, it's kind of laughable because if Michigan State beat Ohio State, I think they would have very good chances of making the college football playoff. You turn on ESPN today, everybody's talking about the Big Ten and how they're coming back, Northwestern having a big win. You see Tevin Coleman, who also had a good week, undershadowed by Melvin Gordon, 300 yards rushing. The Big Ten is now creeping up. And like we said at the beginning of the year, how bad the Big Ten Conference was, there's a lot of national respect now for the Big Ten Conference, Al.
And it all comes down to those two words, quality wins. It all comes down to that. Who would have thought? I couldn't believe. I went in my kitchen to make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and I come back to my couch and flip the channel to the Northwestern and Notre Dame game. And I'm sitting there, and this is after the game, and I'm sitting there like, man, why does Notre Dame heads? Why are their heads down? What's going on here? And all of a sudden, you know, I look in the crowd and Northwestern fans seem to be cheering a little bit. I'm like, hold on, Northwestern didn't just beat Notre Dame. I cannot believe that took place.
Yeah,
but it comes down to those quality wins. Wins like that will ideally put a target on your back and can change perception just like that. I just don't think that the Big Ten has had enough of those wins to get that national top-tier respect to being in talks of having a team represented from the Big Ten. I don't think the Big Ten will be represented in that 14 playoff this year because if there was any chance, like I said, if there was any chance, like you said, Michigan State had to beat Ohio State, and Michigan State was the best chance of having that representation.
Right, I see what you're saying.
Right, right.
But you'd be surprised. I mean, one loss from one of those teams on the fringe, like a TCU or a Mississippi State in the SEC championship, the Big Ten might be the best option, I hate to say, even over a Baylor. I hate to say it, man.
I just don't think there's enough of those quality wins, man. At the end of the day, when you look at the resumes of all the teams in the Big Ten and look at the teams they've lost to, they've had some golden opportunities to turn some heads. They just came up just a bit
short.
Right,
but you could also say the same thing about TCU and Baylor. TCU almost lost to Kansas this weekend. They almost lost to Kansas.
Yep,
a team that's been almost winless this year.
Kansas gave them a very, very tough run for their money. But I do agree. But at the end of the day, I mean, a Michigan State team,
had
looking
the
at
best,
MSU.
Right.
You know, they got two losses now on their record now.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's out.
It's a wrap on it. So I definitely see where you're coming from, though. Folks, our phone lines are still open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And to dive into Michigan State right now, of course, Michigan State topping Maryland, shaking off the bugaboo that they had against Ohio State, and rebounding. And this is an ideal game for them to rebound, I think, Alex. And, you know, whenever Michigan State football has had a loss, a bad loss that demoralizes a few dreams, I tell you what, Mark D'Antonio has his troops ready the following week, and he definitely had them ready against Maryland on the road here. In the first half, I will say, though, I think there was some wake-up. I don't know what speech was given at halftime or what was said, because they look like an entirely different team from that first half compared to the second half.
And I don't know if you saw it, but when Mark D'Antonio came out of the locker room, he had a huge smile on his face. He was jumping up and down a little bit. I don't know if you caught that.
I didn't catch that, no.
You could tell on the sidelines, they were pumped. There was a shot of them. There's a shot showing the Michigan State players on the sidelines getting real pumped up. That's something they usually do at home only, you know?
Mm-hmm, right.
So that was pretty cool to see. And like you said, very different team coming out in the second half.
Yeah, very. And, you know, when you look at it, Jeremy Langford was very quiet in that first half. Connor Cook is a guy, again, he can look like, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the nation, and then he can look like, you know, just an average QB. Connor Cook has to work on that accuracy a little bit, Alex, because there are some throws that he makes that are just like, huh? You know, 5-10 yards off and just inaccurate throws. He has to work on that accuracy. His accuracy has not been great this year. But again, in that second half, he looked brilliant at times, you know? Again, if you look at it, especially after halftime, 174 of the 252 rushing yards on the ground were after halftime. That says a lot. So Michigan State certainly came out with a renewed sense of vigor and confidence. And I tell you what, teams are coming after Darian Hicks, Alex. I'm starting to see that more and more game after game.
But he held his ground a little bit.
He definitely did. He had that one big, I forget what the wide receiver was, but I remember Maryland was on like their 10-5 yard line, and then Darian gets beat on the left sideline for a big gain. Maryland then threatens to score at that point. But and you just see it. I don't know what it is with Darian. You know, he's adjusting, still adjusting to a new role in this MSU defense this season. But teams smell blood in the water. They definitely smell blood in the water, and they're definitely coming after him. So hopefully, I'm pretty sure that Narduzzi sees it. They're not blind. They're not Stevie Wonder out there. They see what's going on, right, and adjustments will be made. I think he's a kid that's tremendously athletic, has a lot of upside, but mentally, Darian Hicks has some growing to do,
yeah,
I think.
But I agree. I mean, between Connor Cook and Hicks, I thought in the first half the offense was stagnant. In the second half, it was a different story. But overall, Michigan State's defense, besides the big play they let up earlier, Michigan State's defense did an excellent job containing C.J. Brown. I was surprised, Al, how many times they ran the ball to their tailback opposed to their leading rusher, C.J. Brown, running the ball on a QB draw or doing a little bit of play action there. Didn't really roll out much. I was really surprised on that. So I give Mark D'Antonio and Pat Narduzzi a lot of credit from doing a lot of QB containing, putting the linebackers out on the edge, making sure that they had C.J. Brown in check most of the game. He rarely ran the ball on the Spartans, Al.
Yeah, he rarely did. And you know what? If you look at the numbers here, a total of six yards for Maryland on the ground. That's it. Six rushing yards, folks. That is it. So, yeah, Michigan State's defense was spectacular.
Yeah, but I couldn't understand. They kept running the ball even though it wasn't working.
They were trying anything because they weren't they did get a few things through the air. So, yeah, I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. They were more effective through the air. I was surprised they didn't go to the air more.
Right, right. That is true. That is very, very true. But, yeah, I mean, you give credit to this MSU defense, though. I mean, that defensive line, you know, with Shalit Calhoun and the guys, they seem to be very, very, very efficient throughout that game. And you got to give credit on the offensive line as well. I thought, you know, Connor Cook has been one of the more better protected quarterbacks in all of the nation. And I tell you what, that offensive line gives Connor a lot of time to throw, a lot of time to think, and a lot of time for him to get comfortable back there. So, again, I thought it was an outstanding performance by that offensive line to also protect Cook. So now, you know, Michigan State, again, I'm sticking to my guns. I think they will win out for the year. Again, playing a top-tier bowl, that's what they're gunning for now. And this was a good game for this team to rebound in. Let's hit our first break. When we come back again, we'll be taking your calls, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. When we come back, we'll talk about some more demise in the land of Ann Arbor concerning Frank Clark. Yeah, we'll run down what he's being charged with and so much more, folks. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I want to remind you all that, yes, we are giving out tickets for each and every MSU home men's basketball game, each and every home women's basketball game, and also hockey. Now, last week, since we had such a packed audience for our Current Sports TV episode with the East Lansing boys soccer team, my premier guest was, of course, the head coach of that squad, Nick Archer. He's been the head coach over at EL since 1973. We had a great audience, a packed audience, and we actually gave away a pair of tickets to the women's game that took place on Sunday and also the hockey game that took place on Friday night. But tomorrow, of course, MSU women's basketball will be taking on Notre Dame, one of the top teams each and every year in all of college basketball in the women's division. They'll be taking on Notre Dame on Wednesday night, and we'll be giving away a pair of tickets tomorrow. During tomorrow's Current Sports Radio show, you are going to want to tune in or spread the word and find out how you can win two tickets to Wednesday night's game to see two of the best programs in women's college basketball in Michigan State and, of course, Notre Dame. Notre Dame has put out so much talent. They actually have this. Alex, have you heard about this freshman? I think her name is Brianna. Is it Brianna Johnson, I think it is?
On Notre Dame?
Yeah, on Notre Dame. Mm. She's unbelievable. Michigan State actually tried to recruit her, but they lost the recruiting war to, of course, the top-tier basketball program in Notre Dame. And it's unbelievable because she's a freshman, and in her debut, she had like 29 points. She was unbelievable, unbelievable. And she's like one of the best players in the nation, and Michigan State is going to have their hands full stopping and containing her along with everyone else on that team. So, but yeah, if you want to figure out how to win tickets, just tune into tomorrow's Current Sports. You get a chance to call in, and you got to earn the tickets, okay? We're not just going to give them away, okay? You got to earn them. It's going to be a fun time. We're going to do it in a pretty fun, cool way, so you don't want to miss that, folks. And also, you know, as far as Current Sports TV is concerned, I want to let everybody know that this week's Current Sports TV will be an encore presentation of one of our most memorable episodes, that being Ronald Mann, the MMA fighter who's an amputee as well. Such an inspiring episode. We are deciding to air an encore presentation of that this Thursday night at 10 p.m. So if you missed it the first time and want to catch it on your TV this week, again, it's at 10 p.m. this Thursday on WKAR-TV. All right, folks. Well, again, we'll continue to take your calls. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's dive into this topic, Alex, because I tell you what, this is a topic. It seems as though every week or every other week, we're talking about something that is going on in the land of Ann Arbor, specifically with the football program that is turning heads and shaking heads. And this is a story that is certainly doing that. Now, if you haven't heard, University of Michigan defensive end Frank Clark was arrested in the early hours on Sunday on domestic abuse charges in Sandusky, Ohio, and had been reportedly released from the team as of hours ago. Now, Clark was staying in a hotel room with his girlfriend when he reportedly picked her up by the neck and slammed her on the ground. He was arrested. Authorities were called. And it's really interesting because they actually have, if you want to check it out, is the entire police report is online right now. The officer's name, I believe, is Michael Caron, who actually arrived at the scene, and Martin Caron. He arrived at the Maui Sands Hotel out in Sandusky, Ohio. The Free Press has released each and every document detailing what exactly was reported and what is alleged to have happened. And I tell you what, it looks as though, looking at the statement here, this is straight from Caron. Quote, when we went up to the room, there was a damaged lamp on the table, a damaged lamp on the wall, and she got a large welt on the side of her neck. She's got marks on her neck. She had what looked like a rug burn on her thigh. They have pictures of everything. Again, that's a direct statement from Martin Caron, the officer who arrived on the scene. And there were also other witnesses, including children who were there. Two other children, ages 3 and 5, were also in the room of this incident. They were in the room supposedly when this took place, and they were reported to have run out of the room, saying, because I believe they're the brother or sisters of the alleged victim here, and they ran out the room saying, he's killing our sister. Man, oh man, I tell you what, we've been seeing domestic violence cases far too often in the world of football players left and right. This has been happening, stemming back to the whole Ray Rice discussion that we've had here on Current Sports, Alex. And now it even hits closer to home now, seeing as though this is a University of Michigan player, a very good one at that, who has had his share of troubles off the field in the past, too. I don't know if a lot of people know this, but actually in 2012, if you remember, Alex, he was ordered to pay back, $1,700 because he admitted to stealing a MacBook Air laptop from somebody else's dorm room, just took it and was caught doing so and had to pay back money. Frank Clark is a guy that just doesn't get it. What was your reaction upon hearing this, man?
My initial reaction was, I'm curious to see how Brady Hoke and Michigan will handle it. And as of hours ago, Frank Clark has officially been released from University of Michigan. So I thought that Michigan handled this very well. They waited until the charges came out. It's unfortunate, and it's so unfortunate for this to happen to their best defensive player. And it was really shocking just to hear it was Frank Clark out of anybody. It was the same reaction when you heard when Taylor Lewan was in trouble. It was like, if any player on the team Taylor Lewan out of all people. It's the same thing here. Your best defensive player.
But are we
out of
really surprised,
people?
Though? Because, I mean, he's had prior instances.
Exactly.
I mean?
But it's just unfortunate that it's their best player. It's like, right. What else does this team need to really hurt their chances of performance on the field?
Yeah, but again, you know, this is one of those things that, hey, you know, sports aren't everything. This is one of those life lessons that I don't care what your stature is. You could be Michael Jordan, for goodness sake. I don't care.
Right.
If you do something like this, there are repercussions that ensue.
Sure.
It doesn't matter. And I think they handled it great. Like you said, I think they handled it great. They had no other choice.
Yeah.
Anytime you have this hardcore evidence, you got children in the room, you got, you know, a welt on the side of her neck. And then if you look at really dive into the report, you know, Clark was actually outside when the police showed up. And then he was going on this huge rant about, you know, I don't get women sometimes and blah, 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 you know. And he goes on this huge rant. And then she doesn't want to press charges. Usually in a domestic abuse case, when a woman doesn't want to press charges, there's something fishy going on. She knows who Frank Clark is. Again, he's arguably the best defensive player on this Michigan football team. And again, stature goes out the window when you're involved in a situation like this. Some kids just don't get it. This is obviously one of those kids who just don't get it, considering the fact, and his pass is not squeaky clean. So, yeah, the hammer has to be laid down, and this is just another negative moment in the season that is the 2014-15 Michigan football team. Very unfortunate stuff. And again, Brady Hoke, his hand was forced here. Of course, they wanted to wait it out and see what evidence was released, what sort of statement was released, read the report a little bit, and then act from there. Michigan had no other choice but to sit Frank Clark out. And this is the last time you'll see him all season, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime you're getting anything physical, anything violence-related, you're gone. Ksante York for hitting that Michigan hockey player, gone. Look at the NFL, Ray Rice, gone. Frank Clark, there was no chance he was staying on the team if it was true.
Yeah, and I think there's a problem. I think there's a legitimate problem that in the world of sports, when it comes to football players, that I think there's a legitimate conversation that can be had here, Alex, because I feel as though, and looking at a report here, I remember I'm a big Real Sports guy on HBO, and they were doing a study on, you know, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which is supposedly being linked to many, many problems that football players go through the result of concussions, heightened aggressiveness, you know, suicidal thoughts. I mean, you know, CTE is being linked by many specialists out there to problems off the field that football players are battling with internally, emotionally, and mentally, most of all. And, you know, there's a legitimate discussion that can be made now for the aggression that football players have out there on the field and how that translates to how they act off of it. A very, very touchy subject, one that, of course, is speculation at this point until hardcore evidence is explored more and they get more justification behind this linkage. But it's a conversation that can be had, and it's one that should be explored without a doubt. And again, folks, if you want to read the report, it's very detailed, very graphic. It is everywhere online. I won't go into more specific details of it, but again, she was on the ground unconscious. They said that Frank, you know, was yelling and screaming at people, and they called the front desk. They called the police, and you know, of course, they saw the girl on the ground. Very unfortunate stuff. And you know, hey, I hope he gets what's coming to him, because I hate to see any instance of domestic violence where a grown man is putting his hands on a woman. It just upsets me,
isn't it?
It upsets me beyond no other. Let's hit our second break, Alex. When we come back, of course, we'll talk some MSU men's and women's basketball. Talk about what we saw from the Navy game. Talk about what we saw from the Eastern Michigan game, and talk about how both of those teams move forward. You don't want to miss that. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports on this Monday, November 17th. Hopefully you all are having a great start to your week. Alex Charg, the man behind the glass, likes to dub this as Martist Monday, where we play music from a specific artist. But the catch is, the reason why we call it Martist and not Artist Monday, because it is Monday, and of course, that artist, the name of that artist has to start with the letter M. I really wish that Kendrick Lamar's name started with the letter M, but we can't know. He can't tweak his name here. But that's, what is it, Matchbox 20?
Matchbox 20. Some classic.
Nice.
Some classic 90s there.
Early
2000s.
I can't say that I have Matchbox 20 on my iPod, but yeah, they're very, very popular group. Definitely heard of them, Alex. So there you have that. Some Matchbox 20 for you. That's hard to say. Matchbox 20. There you have that. Okay. Well, folks, if you followed the MSU men's basketball game on Friday night at 9, you know that the Spartans had a bit of trouble against the Navy midshipmen. Yes, they eventually won the game by 5 points, 64-59, the final of that one. I tell you what, Navy gave Michigan State all they could handle, folks. Travis Trice, definitely the leader in that game. He was great, but the Spartans struggled in multiple areas. Here's actually Travis Trice in a post-game report of that game. Actually, our own Andrew Hayes was in Maryland to cover that game. Here's Travis Trice on his thoughts afterward.
Leading up to this week, I mean, we prepared for them, and we knew they were a good team. We knew they had some great players. Like I said, you can't take anything from them. I mean, they hit some great shots. I mean, our coaches did a great job of setting us up. It's just we didn't go out and execute it. So, I mean, that's on us players. We just got to execute. Guys were asking me how many I had. I was like, I don't even know. I was just looking at the score. I'm like, we got to win this game. And I mean, I don't want to sound down or anything. We're upset with the way we played, but at the same time, we got to win. And that's what our goal was coming in here, was to get a win. We're starting off 1-0 leading into our next game. So.
Yeah, again, that is Travis Trice after the very, very close win over Navy. How big would that have been, Alex, if Michigan State would have failed to Navy in that first game?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, looking at the stats, the last time Navy beat a top 25 team, I think, was from 1952. So you're talking about big. That probably would have been front page headlines anywhere you looked. And especially going into a game against Duke, which Michigan State obviously needs all they can get on Tuesday, I think that would have been bigger than what you would think.
No, certainly. And you know what, for me, what stands out for me when looking at that Michigan State-Navy game is that I think offensively, Alex, this team is lost right now. Looking at how bad that half-court offense was at times throughout that entire game, there are some questions that need to be answered, frankly, throughout this entire week. Travis Trice bailed this team out. Point blank, period. Travis Trice had moments throughout that game when Michigan State did not, you know, could not penetrate that Navy defense. Travis Trice said, okay, give me the ball. I'm going to hit a three here. Give me the ball. I'm going to take it to the rack here. Without that, we may be having a different tone here in talking about one loss on that, to start the year for this Michigan State men's basketball season. And specifically, I think that Michigan State, this team, is going to be at its best when they get out in transition and run. When they get out and get easy buckets. And you saw it a few times. You saw Brandon Dawson. I tell you what, he's unbelievable. Unbelievable in the transition. Without a doubt. When he's running the floor, playing the fast break lanes, Brandon Dawson is one of the best in the nation. But in that half-court offense, it's like he transforms. He doesn't have a go-to move. He occasionally has that, he can hit that little 15-foot jumper. His post moves aren't that polished. He is a great, this goes back to last year. Brandon Dawson is the best garbage man, arguably, in the nation. He can clean up missed shots. He can get you those gritty, hard-nosed points. But as far as giving Brandon Dawson the ball and expecting him to score, it's unfair. Brandon Dawson can't do that.
You know what?
I don't think.
Last year in the tournament, he was bread and butter from the elbow and below, Al.
Exactly. So, that 15-foot jumper. But what move does he have other than that?
Well, you know, any inside shot, I think he can do pretty well. He's hit some hook shots in the past. He does have a little bit of inside game. I wouldn't go on to say that he doesn't have any inside moves there.
They're not polished. When you go against teams who are gunning for you, and especially after you have a season like last year, he was great in the Big Ten tournament, going into the NCAA tournament, teams start to scout you a little better because you start to turn a lot of heads and say, okay, What do we have to do to stop this guy?
Yeah, but look,
the scouting becomes better.
Yeah, but give Navy some credit. I mean, they did a great job in their 3-2 matchup. They did a lot of 3-2, guarding the elbows. They did a great job protecting the inside. Give them credit, too. Dawson didn't have many chances to show off those inside moves at the same time.
And, Alex, I'm not putting it all on Dawson. That's just one of the problems that this team had.
Okay.
I think Costello is another guy who looks totally lost in the half-court offense. He's another one of those guys that you give the ball, and he had multiple times. I mean, even though he was, what, 3-for-3 in that game, he looked a little bit just out of his element when they gave him the ball on the block. He kind of just said, okay, well, let me put it back out there.
Yeah.
Denzel, Travis, you go do something
sure.
with it, 'cause I don't know what I'm
doing. But that might just be because they're relying on that three a little bit more. Tom Izzo did say it. They are relying on the three
and he
more
didn't
this
like
year.
It at all. It was something that stood out to me in that is when he sat down with Mateen Cleaves in that post-game interview is that he said three things. He said, we did not play well defensively. That's not like us. We relied on a three-point shot. That's not like us. And he kind of talked about the turnovers. That's not like us. Michigan State, again, it's early in the year. This is why I love how Izzo choreographs an entire year, because you have a game like this where you play Navy, then you go on to play the number one team in the nation against Duke. These are early test games that you play where if you lose or have some stumbles, you can point out earlier in the year of what your weakness is so that you can prove you can you know work them out and improve on those instead of having these games in the middle to late in the year where you don't have any wiggle room to improve upon. So there are many areas of improvement that this team needs to work on. Turnovers, half court offense, even defense. How many points did Navy have in the paint, Alex? In the beginning of that game, it was 16 to about, I want to say, 19 or 20, and 14 of the 16 points.
That's right.
14 of the 16 points for Navy were inside, in the paint. I'm sitting there like, okay, Dawson, Costello, Schilling, Marvin, they got to play some defense down low. And the on-ball defending of guys like Travis Trice, Denzel Valentine, that on-ball defense has to be better as well. So a lot of room to improve. Will they beat Duke tomorrow?
How can you? Did you see Duke's win they had the other day?
Exactly. I'm not choosing Michigan State to win that game. I think Michigan State will lose against Duke. They'll improve as the season goes on, and Izzo will have this team clicking.
That's the common sense for everybody right now.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, them not having Javon Best is also hurting them as well, because a guy like that, looking at the preseason reports on him, he's a very, very good player who could have helped on the inside, without a doubt. So, folks, we have 7 minutes left. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Alex, I was at the Eastern Michigan and Michigan State game at the Breslin Center yesterday. The MSU women had a close one as well. I chatted with Susie Merchant, Ariel Powers, and Tori Jankowska after that one.
Susie, can you just talk about EMU's grittiness in this game, and how important is it for you to kind of deal with some adversity at this point in the year, at the beginning, you know, the first game of the year for the regular season?
Yeah, I guess you should ask Izzo that question too, right? I mean, we both went through it, and, you know, you're playing teams that are well-coached, and they might do it differently, but certainly it's an opportunity for them to play their best and bank in threes and take wild shots, and sometimes they make them because it's, you know, you against a BCS school. So I'm glad we played Eastern Michigan. There's a lot of people that would, you know, maybe play somebody else that's, you know, a 290 or something opener. But for us, they were in the postseason. They're well coached. We knew they were going to press and attack us, and we've always had good games. Plus, I have an affinity for the place because I started out there. So I feel like sort of it's an obligation to give back, and I like that they always come well prepared and with a lot of aggression, so it helps us in the end.
And it shows us what we need to work on for sure, like bringing the ball up in pressure situations and having more control at the point guard spot, whoever is bringing it up, because we had miscommunications on what play we were in. We couldn't hear, we couldn't even do the signal because they were like so on our grill, so we just really have to communicate better.
It wasn't the prettiest win, but it was a win in the end. We ended up winning. They are pretty feisty, they press, and they get their hands on a lot of balls. They high volume, high energy kids, and it's hard to play with that. We gotta be able to match their energy, and I thought we did that pretty well today. And they try and speed you up because they're a really fast team. They get it up the court, they take quick shots, and they try to get the defense to be on their toes the whole game. And we really just needed to slow down a little bit on offense, and I think we would have been a lot better off. Happy that we did get the win, and there were some good things. I mean, our defense was pretty – we knew the personnel pretty well, and we didn't do – our turnovers didn't come as much of it in the press as they did in the half court. So there were some good positive things, and then there's things where we were really disappointed in our focus down the stretch a few times and the turnovers for sure overall. But there was, yeah, I would say half and half.
The great thing about us this year and like this today, we never blamed it on each other. We were just like, oh, it's okay, we'll get it back, play defense, get a stop. We're never like, man, why didn't you pass it, or complaining. We just all came together and got the win pretty much.
Had that been a problem in the past? Was it the blame game back in the day?
Like last year, I feel like we were, especially around this time, it was more like, oh my God, that's your girl, that's your spot, you should have passed it here, blah, 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 blah. This time, it didn't even happen once on court today.
I think that's huge. I think that's what kept us winning the game today, to be honest. We've had a little bit of problem in the past, not necessarily blaming the person, but being like, man, come on, what are you doing? But today it was like, hey, you're all right, you'll get it next time, you take a charge. She's not my bad. Don't worry about it. You'll get it next time. So I think that really helped us when we got the lead to 14 in the second half, and then they started coming back a little bit. We stuck together, and I think that if we didn't, that it could have gotten uglier than it did.
Yeah, it certainly could have had. That was Tori Jankowska, Ariel Powers, and head coach Susie Merchant addressing their squeaky win over EMU yesterday at the Breslin Center, 69-61, the final of that one. Quick final thoughts on that game. Michigan State, 21 turnovers throughout the entirety of that one. Eastern Michigan, they enacted a full court press throughout much of that game that gave Michigan State some trouble, and which led to a lot of those turnovers. But it's a win nonetheless, and they move on to play Notre Dame, one of the best teams in the nation, on Wednesday. We'll dive into that game and give you a preview as the week goes on. And that one, weekend winners briefly here, Alex. I have a few here that I want to shout out. Of course, we have Mike Smith on, head coach of the Eden Rapids Greyhounds, on last week. They were playing Edwardsburg this past weekend to try and reach and continue their magical year and make the regional finals. But they fell to Edwardsburg 42-8. I just want to shout out Mike because they had one great year. Also want to shout out Jerry Van Havel, the head coach over short as well, and don't continue their year. I hope to have Jerry on the show to talk about their season as well. So now there are four teams left in this whole thing, Lansing Catholic being one of them. Here's Coach Jim Ahern after the win over Flint Powers Catholic to keep their state championship dreams alive.
I was really proud of how we played tonight. The kids, you know, it was a tough game at the beginning, and I think we made, you know, a couple adjustments at halftime that really helped us. And offensively, we started to move the ball a little bit, and then defensively, we shut them down. So it was a big win for the team. The turnover situation for us this year has been unbelievable. That's been the reason, I think, that we're where we're at. We've had some really... like after tonight, we'll be probably close to a plus 40. I mean, that's unbelievable. I've never had a group that could do that. So defense has done an outstanding job for us.
Again, head coach of the Lansing Catholic Cougars, they move on to play Almont. Their season is still alive. So four weekend winners for me, Lansing Catholic, Lansing Sexton, PW, and Ithaca. Four teams remaining to win a state championship. How about that? Well, thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Tune in tomorrow to find out how to win two tickets. That's right, we'll give away two tickets to that Michigan State Notre Dame game on Wednesday. Take care, have a fantastic Monday, and be easy, people.